was a last-minute substitution in the Christmas pageant at a huge uptown church in New York City where I did my field placement. It was 20 years ago on a mid-December Sunday when the difficult news was delivered. The narrator, originally cast in the role, a high school senior, had been rushed to New York Presbyterian Hospital the night before for an emergency appendectomy. He would be fine, but there was no possibility he could recover in time for the pageant. Everyone agreed that Jeremy was the logical choice to fill his shoes. Now, Jeremy had quite a bit of acting experience at school and beyond, this being New York and all, and he was a class clown, always ready with a clever word or funny story, a favorite of the church youth group. We had a feeling that Jeremy could pull it off, mostly because he looked the part. Swarthy, poised, a bit intimidating at 6'3", the tallest member of the 10th grade. A natural for the central role, we told ourselves. Picture Denzel Washington with a sheep, a painted-on beard, and a bathrobe. He had 4 days to learn a pretty thick book of lines. "No worries," he said, with the studied nonchalance of a 15-year-old boy. "My midterms are over on Monday. I've got a paper due on Tuesday. The gold and silver ball is that night, so I can get to my lines on Wednesday. Maybe that night, whatever." Christmas Eve was Thursday and showtime was 4 p.m. Let me give you some background on the Christmas pageant director. She'd come from a small town in Oklahoma to act and direct plays about 25 years earlier, and it hadn't gone very well. Like thousands of other New Yorkers, she'd kept a humble roof over her head through a series of nondescript day jobs: law firm receptionist, waitress, hostess, SAT tutor, still waiting on some level for her big break. And this parish Christmas pageant had become kind of important to her. It was her baby, you might say. It had become a little too important for her. She had poured her whole self into its production. A couple of decades worth of energy and passion and disappointment. So, when young Jeremy said, "Whatever," the director dug her lacquered fingernails into her palms. And she said, "Wednesday night? Are you nuts?" she blurted out, her face burning with splotches of anger on her cheeks. "I don't want to hear about your final exams and holiday balls," she continued. "Do you think Jesus cares about your holiday balls and your exams?" "Whatever. What do you mean, whatever?" she said. And Jeremy and the rest of us looked at our shoes and kind of shuffled our feet. She didn't mean for it to happen. But at some point, all the unresolved hopes that she'd hidden away about work and life and love and her fear of failure had gotten the best of her. And it landed that afternoon squarely on Jeremy's head and the Christmas play. Focused too much on the product and not enough on the people or the process. Good intentions misplaced, she'd made a mess of things. I know about that, making a mess of things. I imagine you do too. And really, that's the scene at the stable that we reassemble every year at Christmas. The one out back behind a crowded inn at Bethlehem. The place filled to overflowing with people like that pageant director and the rest of us. Folks with anger and questions and fears and hopes and heartaches, all kind of tangled up in ourselves and each other. You know, familiarity with the Christmas narrative has made it acceptable to us, but I'd say it's confusing to be born in a stable. And this one places kings beside shepherds and the baby in a feeding trough. Look at it closely and you'll see that a wise man's gold is mixed in with humble straw, and that cow dung sits right near the infant's feet. And there's myrrh and incense to take our minds off the less appealing smells. This tableau is a mixed up jumble from beginning to end. Mary is perspiring from the labor she's endured, and any moment of quiet, well, those occur between the poundings of her heart and Joseph's, and alongside the brays of some pretty restless sheep. The stable we return to on this holy night holds all that, the good, the bad, the in-between, the rich and the poor, the births and the betrayals, the losses, the loves, the fear, the gifts. It's all there in that stable, just like it is in our lives. And it's in the tension of those opposites, the incongruous juxtaposition of God and a baby, of our strengths and our messes, that makes the stable our place and this story so right and so holy. The world embodied there calls us to repair every breach with ourselves, to repair self-centeredness and injustice and violence and hunger. All that is our responsibility. And this fable tells us that love is not only our birthright, it's our call. 1,000 years ago in Ireland, the people used to sing this hymn on Christmas Eve. Tremendous, tiny, powerful, feeble, cheeks fair of color, wealthy and needy, father and brother, maker of brothers, this sure is Jesus, whom we would welcome as Lord of rulers, lofty and lowly, Emmanuel, honey to think on. Honey to think on. Wisdom to wrestle with, powerful and vulnerable at once. The hope and fears of all the years are met in that stable tonight. No one's sure how it happened, whether it was the shock of the star going to the hospital, or having no time to rehearse that year, or her ugly blow-up with the cast. But the director of that Christmas pageant I described to you, she let go of her expectations that year, and she let Jeremy be who he was. And he forgot his lines. Cocky, nonchalant Jeremy was overwhelmed by it all. It was too big to take, too much to hold on to at once, I guess. With the entire cast gathered around him in their sumptuous costumes borrowed from a Broadway theater, Jeremy, who was never in his life without a witty word, was mute that afternoon. The narrator, who in this production carried about 90% of the pageant on his shoulders, had nothing to say. Everyone in the church held his breath. The quiet enveloped us and seemed an eternity. And then, finally, with either awe in his eyes or sheer terror, and probably some of both, Jeremy summed up the moment we'd all come hoping to witness, the light glowing in that shadowy stable, where God's vulnerability and courageous hope in us are revealed together. And all he could conjure up to say was this: Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the angel, the baby, oh God, that's it. The pageant was scheduled to last 20 minutes. It was over in 2. But then, in silence, he walked over to the baby, bowed deeply, took off some piece of his costume, laid it at the feet of Jesus, turned, and walked nobly down the aisle. And amazingly, the rest of the cast followed suit. 40 little kids who'd spent weeks practicing their parts filed by Jesus, quietly bowed, and left some part of their costume as a gift. And we all got it. The weeks of planning and expectation boiled down to one gesture. The bigness of the pageant stripped down to something so simple and honest. The rushing around that we do, the anxieties we carry, the anger we harbor, the resentment we nurse, the power that we wield, all diminish in the enormity of that reverent bow to the God who became one of us so that we could be like him. Like the wise men in the light of the stable lamp, we can lay it all down at the feet of that baby tonight. And tomorrow, our charge is this: to carry to a world that's more and more convinced that darkness has won, to carry the gift of God's courageous light. Our humanity is the world's last best hope. The stable in Bethlehem tells us the tangled stories of our lives, so tremendous, so vulnerable, so wealthy, so much in need, so broken, so blessed, so holy, and so able to change the world when we love the way that God loves us. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith the sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and to all people. Love for plea and gift and sign. Amen.